There is a song that in the first verse says, when this passing world is done, when has sunk yon glaring sun, when I stand with Christ on high, looking o'er life's history, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. This song speaks to the debt that we owe to our Father for what He has done through Christ. And this morning, I'd like to draw our minds to be thinking about the debt that we owe. And in doing that, I'd like for you for just a moment to consider a book. And imagine that you see this book. It's a large book. It's thick. And as you look through the pages, you see a list of people. It's a list of people throughout history. You see Job. You see Moses' name there. You see Elijah's name. You see Peter's name. And the more that you begin to look at this, the more that you recognize that this is the book of life. In Revelation 20 and verse 12, it says, and I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books according to what they had done. You recognize it's the book of life, and so you start to scramble to find your own name there. And as you begin to look and see, you find your name and you find with it a list of deeds. Some good deeds, but many bad deeds, many evil things. The more that you read, the more embarrassed that you become. Because you realize that in this list is every deed you have ever done. Every thought that you have ever had is listed in this list. Those things that you thought only you knew, they're listed here. Those things that you did just yesterday are listed here. The thoughts of the heart. And there's even space for what might come. You read of those times when you put yourself before God. When you said, I want to do what I want. Those times when maybe you said some hateful words to someone. The times when you lied. The times when you were boastful. The times when it was just, you just didn't show kindness. Or maybe the times when you had an opportunity, but you just didn't get involved to do good. You begin to think and you're reminded of Paul's words in Ephesians 2 and verse 1 beginning, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. As you read this list, there's an overwhelming sense of shame that comes over you. And a sense of this crushing debt. And you begin to think about the parable that Jesus spoke about the unmerciful servant. And he had this debt of 10,000 talents, this monetary value that couldn't be paid back in a lifetime. And you begin to see your sins. And realize there's no way possible that I could ever repay those sins. There's no way I could ever make good on that debt. As you see this list, you look to the side and there's a column and it says verdict. And right there, underneath that word, is guilty. You begin to think and sort of quake where you stand. I'm guilty. What can I do? And just as you see that, then there are words that are overwritten on that word guilty. Words that say paid in full by the Son. What does that mean? It means the debt's canceled. It means the debt has been paid in full. In Acts 3 and verse 19, Peter would say it this way, therefore repent and return so that your sins may be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Paid in full by the Son means you're free. It means you're forgiven. What does that word forgiven mean? We say it a lot of times. The dictionary defines it as to grant pardon for or remission of an offense, debt. It means to absolve. But I want us to really concentrate on to understand what it means to be forgiven. I think we need to consider the penalty of sin. Every time that we have sinned, that is a sin against an infinitely holy God that requires an equally infinite satisfaction as payment. That comes as a result of His nature. That's just who God is. He is this infinite God. And if I sin against Him, there is an infinite payment that must come about. Now, there are two options for this payment. One is that man, being a finite creature, must pay for his sin for an infinite amount of time. Just think about what that means for just a moment. It means that that person that has gone into hell and has been there for 10,000 years, at the end of that 10,000 years, God's wrath against, God's righteous wrath against sin hasn't dissipated, because God is an infinite God and there must be an infinite payment. So just as you've spent 10,000 years in hell, it's like you're just beginning that punishment. But God has a plan. And that plan is for an infinite being, Jesus, to pay for sin once for all men for all time. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 14, beginning there, it says, for by one offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also testifies to us after saying, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws upon their heart, and on their mind I will write them. Then he says, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now, where there is forgiveness of these things, there is no longer any offering for sin. God says, that's what I've done. I've sent my Son, that infinite being, to pay your debt. But someone might say, as they look, they say, my sins are so terrible. I'm not worthy of forgiveness. And there's truth to that. None of us are worthy of forgiveness. None of us can say to God, God, look at what I've done. You need to just forgive me. Our salvation is not based upon us. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, Paul would write, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the free gift of God." It's a gift. He says, here's your debt. Yes, it's huge. It's terrible. But here's what I'm offering to you. You see, our forgiveness is not based upon ourselves, but it is based upon the righteousness of Jesus. In Romans chapter 5, there in verse 18, the whole context is this contrast between what has happened from the very beginning and what has happened with Christ. And it says in verse 18, "So then, as through one transgression there resulted condemnation to all men, even so through one act of righteousness there resulted justification of life to all men." We are forgiven of all sin based upon not my righteousness, but on the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Based upon His life, His death, and His resurrection. It was in that offering of Himself that was the satisfaction of God's wrath. When Christ said, "I will give myself," God says, "I will pour out my wrath on you, and then it will be done." So that we don't have to go through that. Someone again considering their debt might see that their sins are so many, might say, "Well, God can't forgive all my sins. He might forgive some of them, but can He really forgive all of them?" Anyways, that's the way we operate. "I'll forgive you this, but this over here, that's way too much." That's not how God operates. God doesn't forgive some of our sins and hold us responsible for others. But because Christ offered Himself our complete sacrifice, God forgives completely. In Hebrews 10, remember we saw there that God says He remembers our sins no more. He doesn't hold it over our heads, waiting for us to mess up again. He says the slate is wiped clean. Consider how the psalmist talks about God's forgiveness. "The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His loving kindness towards those who fear Him. And as far as the east is from the west, so far He has removed our transgressions from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him." The psalmist uses that word picture there. Can you ever get to the east if you go to the west? No. They're complete opposites. God says, "That's how far I've removed your sin. That debt that is that as you picture it, you are overwhelmed by, you are crushed by that debt." He says it's gone because of what the Son has done. All of us, as children of the Father, are forgiven debtors. And as we come together this morning and we share in remembering Jesus, let us try to comprehend the great debt that we owe. Let us try to comprehend the great price that was paid on our behalf. Let us remember God's love, that He sent His Son to die in my stead, in your stead, so that we might become righteous. The fourth verse of that song says, "E'en on earth as through a glass, darkly let thy glory pass. Make forgiveness feel so sweet. Make thy Spirit's help so meet. E'en on earth, Lord, make me know something of how much I owe."